I'd like to share with you a portion from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, in verse 28. I might also mention that I'm not avoiding the gospel lesson that was just read, because the two older manuscripts lack this section. But rather, I'd like to share with you the text that I was given, I think it was about 39 years ago. It was the first sermon text given. Dean Eggelt, whose picture hangs in one of your rooms here, he was the teacher. By the way, I'm a graduate from this school in 1958. But anyway, I can still remember his remarks. He said, "Pfotenhauer, you've got about a 30-minute manuscript here, and you've covered everything from Genesis to Revelation. Go back and do it over." And so this is the text. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." This scripture is obviously very timely in that in a number of days, many of you will receive your vicar assignments, and many of you will receive your first call. Let's take a moment and look at the work and person of the Holy Spirit as he relates to you and to me, as it relates to our call into the Christian faith. The person of the Holy Spirit clearly is God. In the book of Acts, where that couple were deceitful about buying property, they were told, "You not only sinned against the Holy Spirit, but you sinned against God." We begin all of our services in the name of our baptism, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit as it affects you and me. Already in our baptism, the Holy Spirit was at work to bring us salvation through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So as believers in Jesus as Savior, that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And as Jesus also becomes the Lord of our life, it's the Holy Spirit that accomplishes that as well. For no one can say that Jesus is his Lord except through the Holy Spirit. So that's the person, that's the work of the Holy Spirit as it affects you and me. Now let's look a little further. For in our text, we are instructed that it is a Holy Spirit that makes us the overseers over the flock of God. What really does that consist of? To be a parish pastor, to oversee the flock of God. The instruction in Scripture is quite clear. We are to preach, we are to teach, we are to care for the sick and dying, we are to baptize, we are to marry, we are to bury, we are to pray, and we are to be equipped to be evangelists, to reach out. That's the basic function. It's very basic. But that's what we are called to do primarily. And that will never change. For even as we speak now, my associate back in Woodbury is conducting a funeral service for a 28-year-old girl who was killed instantly Sunday morning in a car accident. Last night I was informed that one of our older members who had extensive surgery on Friday. She was bleeding to death internally. The doctor said there really is no hope, but they did surgery early Saturday morning and found that her liver was totally porous. There was no membrane or skin around her liver. Therefore, she was bleeding. They packed the liver after a three-hour surgery, said we can leave that packing in for 72 hours, but it is really hopeless. Don't count on any kind of recovery. Last night, the son-in-law was extremely excited. They removed the packing, and she is stabilized. She's even out of intensive care. Incredible the way God works in ministry. Word, sacrament, prayer, teaching, visiting. What advice could I give to you, having spent some 36 years in the parish ministry? What advice for overseeing the flock over which the Holy Spirit will make you the overseer? This is my advice. This is primarily focused to those of you who will be called into a parish. During your vicarage, someone will be telling you what to do. But your first call will probably maybe be to a rural area, maybe a small parish, maybe 75 families, maybe it'll be a two-point or even a three-point parish. How should you carry out your ministry and the overseeing of the flock? Picture yourself sitting in a buggy, and the horse is in front of the buggy ready to go. When you receive your call, you receive the reins. And already you're saying, how can I lead this church? How can I give it direction? My advice would be, take those reins and fold them around the buggy. And you simply sit in the buggy and let the horse proceed. The horse being your congregation. The horse may run at times. It may gallop. It may lay down. It may seemingly not respond. But there is a reason for that. It takes at least a year to get to know your people. Use that first year visiting them, listening to them, and carrying out the ministry as it has been carried out before you. I know you're going to notice some things that you'll want to change right away. The stewardship program isn't what it should be. You've even noticed at the communion rail that one of the long-standing members has a Masonic ring on his finger. You've overheard some of the Sunday school teachers. They're mixing up law and gospel. There are so many things that need to be changed. My advice is, don't change a thing the first year. Let the horse run. Be there to feed the horse. Be there to clean up after the horse, but let it run. And then when you begin year two, gently take the reins. For the people know you now. They have confidence in you. They trust you. They are now beginning to be ready to accept your leadership in a real hands-on way. But even then, in that second year, hang on to the reins loosely. Let go. Let God. I believe that is so basic for a meaningful and effective ministry. It is so basic that you get to know your people. Spending the first year entering the homes of all of your families will be time well spent. I would encourage that. Be a pastor. Be one who reaches out to your people. Love them. They will respond. They will be a blessing to you, and you will be a blessing to them. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseer. Amen.